Well, good morning, happy Thursday, and welcome to another edition of Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan, and before we get underway, a reminder, you are always welcome to be part of the conversation, wherever that may lead, wherever our minds may wander. And you can connect with us at 850-414-1234, or you can send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. Well, you know, from Frenchtown to Florida A&M University, the John G. Reilly House Museum, to the Spirit Houses, and that really cool barbershop in the Smoky Hollow District, you can hardly go more than a couple feet anywhere in Tallahassee without encountering a location of significance to African American heritage. But as many places as there are that we know about and have documented, there are probably a lot more for which the historical record is maybe a little bit unclear. And now there is a comprehensive effort abrew in the community to locate those places and give them the recognition and perhaps even the preservation that they are due. So we thought we'd talk about that, not just the regular Black History Month kind of program on WFSU's Perspectives, but to bring in probably some of the greatest firepower when it comes to historic preservation that we have seen in this room for quite some time. So let's go around and meet the panel. And we also want to get your take on this as well. If you are aware of any locations in this area or on the outskirts that would play into Black history, we'd love to hear that story, and you're welcome to be part of that conversation, as we said. So we go around the table. Let's talk to the person who really helped put all this together, Tallahassee City Commissioner Diane Williams-Cox. Her record of personal and professional involvement in the community through both the public and private sectors would probably encompass a program all of its own. So we'll just say, Commissioner, it is so good to see you.
Good to see you too, Tom. And thank you for having the foresight to bring us together.
Well, you sure helped in that regard, because you brought along, again, some incredible resources here community. This lady sitting right next to you here, we have heard her on these microphones before. This is Altamise Barnes, Director Emeritus of the John G. Reilly House Museum, and the lady for whom African-American history in the capital city is totally synonymous. Altamise, it is always a delight to see you, ma'am.
It's always a delight to be here, and we just look forward to continuing what we are doing. There was a big gap in this community.
There sure was, and let's get into that gap and how we're working to fill that in here. Right next to you is, dare we call you a spark plug, sir? Delatri Hollinger joins us here, and just to give you a little bit of background on this gentleman, Executive Director, CEO of the National Association for the Preservation of African American and Culture, Inc., a nonprofit organization dedicated to the protection of historical properties and preservation advocacy, also serves as president of the Aquilina Howe Foundation. What a remarkable woman Ms. Aquilina was. One of the first people I met when I came down here to Tallahassee, along with, again, former City Commissioner James Ford. And Delatri, again, congratulations on your latest accomplishment, the designation of a highway stretch from Capitol Circle all the way over to South Adams Street in the name of the Reverend C.K. Steele. That was a masterful job, sir.
And I have to thank our Commissioner, Diane Williams-Cox, because it goes now all the way to Southwood Plantation Road. So it's all the way through now.
And that was no small feat, because it wasn't just going to the city commission saying, hey, put up a few new signs. This was a state highway. You had to have that redesignated by act of the Florida legislature.
And it took 4 years, but we finally got the bill signed in March of last year.
Well, let's get right down into it. Commissioner Williams-Cox, as we said at the outset, there are so many wonderful sites and locations of significance to African-American history in this town. But there's a little campaign going to try to find out what is less well known, right?
Absolutely, because, you know, they're the things that we know, but we're always in search of what we don't know. Because if you don't know, then you have a chance of, you know, kind of messing things up. And so we want to make sure we know where these places are. I know that Ms. Barnes has a campaign going to have markers placed. And I know that DeLatry is also working on identifying these historical sites as well. So I think the collaborative effort of what is already going on in our city, we need to get on board and support it. They need money. They need boots on the ground. They need people who know to help share in where these places are, because no one knows everything. But we're striving to learn more so that we can be able to share this information and let folks know about the history of our city, as well as let the children who are coming up, let them know so that they too can be proud of what has happened before them and what they can get in and continue to go. I think it's notable to note that DeLatry is only 25 years old, but I met him at 17 when he was working on preserving a giant in our community and having her name put in place. So I think this is a great team of having a young man and a young lady working together to make our community, continue to make our community great, and make sure folks understand the historic nature that we have here in Leon County in the city of Tallahassee.
Now, some of these locations may be somewhat well-trodden, let me put it that mm-hmm. way, that are right there kind of in plain sight, whether it's the former Woolworth store location downtown where mm-hmm. the sit-in took place at the counter. Sadly, that building no longer with us, but some of them are kind of hidden away. And Ms. Barnes, I will remember till the day I shuffle off the mortal coil of running into you in a little cemetery off of the Miccosukee Greenway that had just been kind of rediscovered by the folks in the Historic Trust and a few other organizations, that was a cemetery, an African-American cemetery, dating back probably to the Civil War era.
It was, and yes, I remember that very well. And see, when I came along after retiring from state government 30 years, it was just disturbing to me, growing up in Tallahassee, I'm a fifth generation, that there was so much of our history that was not being told. And coming from a large family with a lot of older relatives, knew these stories. And like you said, the Trust for Public Land was the one who contacted me mm-hmm. because they were getting ready to develop Wilani Plantation and came upon this burial site. At that time, cattle were walking all through and everything. And I went out and took a look, and when I saw the names, I said, oh, these are some of our very senior people from New Zion Church, Testarina Primitive Baptist Church. And it was from that point that we were able to get Blueprint involved and in the end saved that cemetery, and it became a historic site with the designation. And then, of course, we have to, as we are saying, work together, because the three churches came along with me, and through Reverend Rush and some of the others, we're able to get the wrought iron fence put around it to protect the graves and do whatever else needed to be done to get it ready for the National Register. But the burial's birth dated back to the 1830s, 40s, what have you.
And some of those burial sites were marked either with the most remarkable devices, whether it was parts from old tractors, or
wagon wheels,
just strange, you know, a carburetor, I remember, on one particular grave site. But then there was also the graves that were marked with what had been just pieces of
concrete
with this strange looping type of script on it to scare away evil spirits. I'm going, my Lord, this is...
Turn letters a certain way, and that's to keep the evil spirits away, and all of them with nails. That's how the inscriptions were made back then.
That was... And so that was a success, that was preserved. But DeLatry Hollinger, I remember also being with you down at the site of the old jail there by Cascades Park, and you tried to move heaven and earth to get preservation to that site. You were unsuccessful. That had to hurt.
It did, but it's gone, and we just have to find more innovative ways now to preserve that memory. It was a 4-year fight, but what we did get, Mrs. Barnes and I were on the working group that was formed, by the developer North American Properties. And what we did get is a memorial to the civil rights activists and leaders who were jailed there, such as the Reverend C.K. Steele, such as Wilhelmina Jakes and Carrie Patterson, the two FAMU students who were arrested during the bus boycott. So that is going to be very interesting to see that play out, how that will be designed and how that will be incorporated into the new development that's coming there.
We want to, again, tap into any information that you as a listener to this program may have when it comes to a potential site, a location, a remembrance, because so much of this is oral history. It hasn't been well documented or written down, but we have a group here on our Perspectives program today who can certainly take that information and get that into the public record. Dr. Hollifield, we may have to interrupt you halfway through for a break, but let's get you on into the conversation as well. How you doing, sir? Hey, doctor.
Oh, hello. How you doing?
Hey, I could not be doing better. Thanks for checking in today, Ed. How's everything with you?
Pretty good, and great program as usual, Tom. But I'm concerned that a lot of people don't know the history of medical services here in Tallahassee that resulted from the fact that when TMH was formed in 1948, blacks were not allowed to go to that hospital. Matter of fact, TMH would allow a black person to die before admitting them to that hospital. And because of that, that is between 1948 and 1965, there were a couple of black hospitals that came into existence. And I know Elton Meese knows about some of this. There was the Campbell Hospital that took care of black patients. There was a FAMU hospital. And a lot of students on FAMU's campus don't even know that they used to have their own hospital. It existed between 1951 in 1971, when TMH got control of the FAMU hospital and closed the FAMU hospital on Christmas Eve, 1971.
Okay, hold it right there, Doc. We'll continue the conversation here on the side of the other side here, this mandatory timeout, and we'll talk some more about some of the history that is known and some less well known here when it comes to the African American sites and locations around Tallahassee. We'll be right back. We are back on Perspectives, and we have a super panel of folks talking about the history of our area when it comes to African American sites, many of which are very prominent, we all know about, but there is now a push on to determine what else is out there and how we can, if not preserve it, certainly commemorate it. And Deladry Hollinger, you were talking about your personal connection here with that FAMU hospital that Dr. Hollifield just referenced.
Yes, and actually it existed from 1911 through 1971, and there were some pioneering persons who were instrumental in the development of the FAMU hospital, such as Dr. L.H.B. Foote, such as Dr. Russell Lloyd Anderson, who's the medical director there. But my grandmother was a nurse at the FAMU hospital, Mrs. Mercedes Williams, through the 1950s and 1960s. And in 1971, when it was closed, she was transferred over to Tallahassee Memorial Hospital and stayed there through the 70s and the 80s.
No, that is remarkable. And Altamese, that is a part of the history that is less known because those buildings no longer exist or the facilities aren't there anymore.
True. That is so true. But, you know, sometimes too, and maybe it's because when I retired and decided to go into this, my first thing was to take some courses at Florida State University in museum management and historic preservation. And that kind of lived with me because I, too, was all excited about, yeah, we have to save these hidden enclaves. Growing up here, I know of a lot of places that existed that were closed even by the time I retired from state government. But sometimes we can't save everything, and we have to be able to evaluate what can be saved and what cannot. And if we're trying, say, to go for National Register designation, mm-hmm. there are certain prohibitions to that. Mm-hmm. So what do you do next? Even with the Smoky Hollow Project, that took a six-year effort. And the former residents were saying, well, what, they just need to build it back. But realistically, no, we cannot build it back. But we can put a replica, a memorial, a commemoration, and you tell the story mm-hmm. of your life there. Talk about your parents, your grandparents, your businesses, your churches. That way, it's still being preserved.
Mm-hmm. Just like the spirit houses, which I think are such a remarkable match up with the old barber shop, yes. which is authentic, which is real.
Right. And it takes all people, because the barber shop, we're talking Black History Month, but inclusiveness is a big part of the answer, too.
Yes.
Because the gentleman who worked for Department of Transportation and actually went and did the surveying and had the families evicted, if you will, was the one who came to us and said, look, I know what happened to the old barber shop. He sent us behind the old airport, and we worked with City Manager Favors to say, don't tear it down, just give us a couple of years. So we were able to move it to Lively Tech, get it restored, and brought back as the only commercial property in Smoky Hollow that existed. So the gentleman was a white gentleman who did that. So we have to look for creative ways
right.
and inclusive ways mm-hmm. because the history is with all of us,
mm-hmm. right.
especially given the makeup of Linn County, because at one time we had a lot of plantations. Linn had more than any other county in the state. So naturally you had more slaves than slave owners. Thus the population was more Black. So, but a lot of the important records were with the owners. So we have to come together so that we collectively mm-hmm. can save this history.
Somebody who knows a little bit about that history also is a gentleman named Bob Holliday. I think he is familiar
yes.
to some of you folks here. He is online, too, and joins us now. Hey, Bob, welcome to Perspectives. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Hey, real good. It was good seeing you the other day. How's everything treating you?
Oh, fine. I just wanted, on behalf of the Tallahassee Historical Society, to congratulate and heartily endorse what these fine citizens are doing, and to offer our help in any way that we can. I mean, this is very important work. As they have said, Leon County was created by the sweat and blood of African Americans. And it absolutely has to be remembered. I also wanted to invite them and all of your listeners. Next Thursday night, February the 14th, the Tallahassee Historical Society will be holding its regular February meeting. And our speaker is Torrio Osborne, who is vice chair of the Riley Archives, which is out at GCC. And he's going to be speaking on J.N. Kreams and the J.N. Kreams family. And we certainly hope we have a good turnout and certainly like to invite everybody. So good work, everybody. Keep it up.
Hey, thanks so much, Bob, and appreciate that reminder about next Thursday's meeting of the Tallahassee Historical Society. Well, as Altamis pointed out, Commissioner Williams Cox, sometimes you just can't save everything.
Right.
And I'm thinking of the recent dedication of the new Casanas development there at the
right.
corner of Macomb and Georgia Streets.
Right.
There was some history there. It could not be saved. But was this, to your way of thinking, a good way to commemorate what had been there and try to keep it in some kind of context?
Well, I actually was not able to attend the grand opening, but I did follow up and saw that Mrs. Aquilina Howell's sister, Miss Lucille, was there. And she, it, to me, what's important is what does the family feel? And she seemed to have been in agreement that this was a good way to commemorate her family by naming it the Casanas House. I understand there was quite a bit of controversy because of the character of Frenchtown, and this was a bit out of character for Frenchtown. But as Ms. Barnes said, sometimes you can't save it all, but at least if we're able to continue that history and recognize it for what it used to be and for what it is now, and do what we can to try to preserve as much of it as we can in a good way. One of the things that I've done, I have a nonprofit called Girls Rule. And through the years, what I've done is I've taken young girls and or even older girls, as a matter of fact, to visit historical sites around the country. We went to Selma, we went to Birmingham, we went to Memphis, and we went to Atlanta. And most recently, we went to D.C. to see the African-American Museum, the Smithsonian Museum, because it is very important to me for me to help people understand the rich history, because it's not being taught in school as we would like it to be, although it is law that it be taught. But all over the state of Florida is not being taught. We must know how proud and how intelligent and how smart of a people put all of these things together. And so I am just really excited, not just doing Black History Month, but all year long, because as far as I'm concerned, as long as I'm going to be Black, African American, or whatever you want to call me, I'm going to try to make history every day. So it's going to be 365. And 366 in leap year. So we need to look at it in that way and not just cluster everything into February, but let's spread it out. Let's make sure we're doing everything we can. History is important for every ethnic group. History is important. I happen to be a part of this one. So it is important to me, and I want others to understand the importance, and I understand and appreciate the importance of others and want to learn about those as well. So yes, it's absolutely necessary to try to preserve what we can, but all that we can't, we need to memorialize it and let folks know that this was here. And speaking of which, I had a conversation the other day with Delatry about a project that he's embarking upon to do just that. I'm hoping he'll talk about it.
Yeah, please do, Delatry.
Well, Commissioner Williams Cox and I were discussing Carter Howard Strong Park. Mm-hmm. And with the new Cassandra's development, that's 88 new families that are now there on Macomb Street. With the standard development on Macomb Street, that's about 900 new students that are all of, and that's over 1,000 people that are now going to be on Macomb Street. I think they should have a pretty nice park to be able to exercise at, to be able to walk around. And that park, Carter Howell Strong Park in Frenchtown, is named for Miss Eunice Spencer Carter, Mrs. Aquilina Howell, Mamie and Robert Strong, who are the owners and the operators of Strong and Jones Funeral Home. There are no markers there to commemorate, and that park was built on top of an entire community. You know, there was an entire community that was demolished to make way for that holding pond there. And there's nothing in the park to commemorate those families. Similar to the markers that we have in Cascades Park, we should put markers like that in Carter Howell Strong Park. And I would actually like to see those four individuals for whom the park is named, I'd like to see them memorialized in that park in some major way, maybe in the form of sculpture or statue. And I would like to see some other aesthetic improvements, such as, you know, suppose a nonprofit organization wanted to have a jazz festival right there in Frenchtown, especially with all the new improvements that are coming in. They should be able to do that. So I think we should put a stage out there. And so I discussed it with Commissioner Williams Cox. I'm hopeful that in the years to come, we might be able to make some of those improvements.
I was going to say, because that's a long hike from there to Cascades Park. It'd be nice to have kind of your own area right there.
Mm-hmm. And there used to be a park
right there
in the area where, Little St. Mary Church back then was on Dewey Street, and it was the West Side Park.
That's right.
And that's where all of the children in the neighborhood, Springfield, Griffin Heights, would go and do football, tennis, whatever. Miss Eva Manning and Miss Mosley were two of the attendants at that park. So, see, that's another part that's that of the history that's missing.
And if we put those markers in that park, we'll be able to preserve that.
Mm-hmm. And the Riley House right now is working with CRA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have 10 Frenchtown markers that are going up.
Excellent.
Six of them will be audio, because we've also documented the history, oral
very
histories
good.
Of people who've been gone, but they were born right there where Popeyes is, and they've walked us up and down the street on VHS tape. You know we're having to digitize those before we lose them. But that's hopefully by the end of this year, those markers will be up with the audio and visual, so that
very good.
That would be the Frenchtown Trail.
And Ms. Barnes, I've also heard that former county commissioner and former interim president of Florida A&M University, Dr. Lewis, is also working on
Dr.
a project
Henry
with
Lewis.
Dr. Henry Lewis is working on a project, and he found himself back on his own street in the Bond community.
And he disappeared on me somewhat because I made the mistake of telling him who to hook up with in the city to focus on Bond.
Mm-hmm.
So he's told, but that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Because from that, the working with those citizens, we have an outstanding Bond project that's going
yes.
on. The greater Bond community is doing an outstanding job in doing just what we're saying, remembering and reviving and revitalizing that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure he'll be back, but he had greater work than
he
had to get done.
Work.
He'll be back.
Let's add Robert to the conversation on line one here on Perspectives as we talk about the expansion of our African-American history right here in Florida's capital city. Hey, Robert, welcome to Perspectives.
Yeah, hi. How are you guys doing?
Real good. Thanks.
I actually wanted to call and discuss the Lake Hall Schoolhouse up in northeast Tallahassee, the other side of town where we don't have a lot of preserved African-American history. But this schoolhouse, and I know Ms. Barnes had been part of an effort to try to get it preserved years and years ago. It's still sitting in limbo. It's still just sitting here, not preserved and not destroyed yet. And I just want to see if Ms. Barnes or anybody had any comments or thoughts about it.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot, Robert. Aldemise, where are we on?
I wish I could say that we have a solution, but we don't yet. But the Lake Hall School is very important because it is one of three that I know of the one-room, the 52 one-room Negro schoolhouses that once existed. Here again, we have the stories of the people who went to that school. The school, really, for the time it was built in the 1870s, is in marvelous shape. But we couldn't find a way to move it downtown, which was our first thought. But someone in the area, if you're listening and have some power and some resources, there is this historic school, that's ready to be moved. Well, it's good if we didn't have to move it. But if it could in some way be preserved.
And most people are, I think, under the mistaken impression that there are vast pots of money in either local or state government for historic preservation, and you just swoop in and say, hey, I'm putting in a grant for X, and boy, it happens. And Lakery's just shaking his head going, don't happen.
I've been praying that prayer a long time that we would have that, and that's why I work so hard. That's why Mrs. Barnes has worked so hard for so many years. But I want to touch on what the caller, if I may, for just a little bit, what he mentioned, the Lake Hall School. I want to touch on some other landmarks that we don't know about too much, such as the Gibbs Cottage on the campus of Florida A&M University, constructed in 1892, the home of the founder of the university, Thomas Van Gibbs, who was a Reconstruction-era state legislator, and he filed the legislation to establish the university. His home is off of South Adams Street, boarded up, condemned. And we, you know, that is in need of preservation. Also, a state building across the street from where the old jail once sat, the Coleman Building. That was the bus depot at the time that the Tallahassee bus boycott was going on. And if you go back and look at old footage from the Tallahassee bus boycott, you'll see rows of buses at the Coleman Building sitting idle down at Cascades Park. And also the historic Getty Speed store on Brevard Street, owned by Watson Temple Church, my church, Pastor Donald Shepherd. Historic Getty Speed store was owned by the Reverend Dan Speed during the bus boycott, and it's really the last wooden commercial structure standing in Frenchtown. Next to that is the historic Modern Cleaners Building, which was saved by Dr. Charles Evans, the former president, president emeritus of the Tallahassee branch of the NAACP, and moved from Macomb Street to Brevard Street, where it is now, right next to that Getty store. And also, there was a community where Lively and TCC sit called Needmore. Dating back to the 1870s, there was a black community called Needmore, and there was a church established in Needmore in 1873, and a cemetery. Those bodies eventually were moved out to the airport, where our Tallahassee International Airport is now. And I worked with Gerald Inslee some years ago to write a news article on that cemetery. Also, and I promise I'm almost finished, Mrs. Barnes mentioned one of the three of the Negro schoolhouses. I believe the other two are the Concord School out at the Tallahassee Museum and Rainey School out at St. Peter Primitive Baptist Church off Centerville Road. The church still uses that. That is, and they have the old school bell in there. And I mean, it's really just, it's really marvelous. And one more property, the Kershaw Nims House in Frenchtown off of Central Street, just a few steps away from the Tallahassee Urban League, built in 1890 by the Reverend A.J. Kershaw, who was a pastor of Bethel AME Church. His home is still sitting there. And when Reverend Kershaw eventually died, he was the grandfather of Jolaine Kershaw, who was the first black to be elected to the Florida House of Representatives in 1969. That house is still there. The owner, Mrs. Mamie Nims, cannot find the funds to restore that. And when Reverend Kershaw died, Mr. Joe Nims took that over. So
there are just a few of the things that are still out there. And yeah, if you are aware of any, please let us know at 414-1234 Perspectives. We'll be right back. Just so much history that is hidden away in little obscure places, and sometimes it's even under our feet and we don't realize what it is until unfortunately it is in danger or is actually gone. So we're talking about some of the significant little known places to African American history here in the greater Tallahassee area with Tallahassee City Commissioner Diane Williams Cox, Altamise Barnes, and Delatri Hollinger. Delatri, I was just so fascinated listening to that inventory of buildings that are still there and recoverable that actually could be saved with a little bit of injection of resources right now.
And TLC.
Tender love and care.
A lot
and,
of that.
And Tom, along those lines, what Mrs. Barnes do each year with the Riley House and what Delatri is doing with his upcoming program is this is how they try to get those resources to sustain them just themselves or to be able to do these kinds of things. So I would like to ask Ms. Barnes to talk about the upcoming annual gala for the Riley House and then for Delatri to talk about his outstanding program that's coming up, not just because I'm being honored, but because there are a lot of other folks who are being honored and we need to support these programs.
Absolutely. All of these correct.
Okay, well, yes. Yeah, so within the spirit of capturing what we had already lost when I came along, we started the Pioneers Gala. It's to recognize posthumously people who lived, contributed, were statesmen, whatever. But a lot of people utilized things that they started, like Miracle Hill Nursing Home, started by Reverend Moses Jeremiah's, on and on. Miss Hollyfield, who fought the state to get a black licensed practical nursing program. But a lot of people living today wouldn't know that. Mm-hmm. So on February 28th at Goodwood Museum and Gardens, we are holding our 15th Pioneers Gala. And we are recognizing the Parker family, Antonio, George, John, and Bahamia. Speaking of history that people pass by every day, a lot of people pass on Calhoun Street by Knott House, Rutgers House, Randall Lewis House. But they don't know that those houses were constructed by George Proctor, the son of Antonia, who received a 185-acre land grant as the interpreter during the Spanish Wars. And then George's son went on to become, though these people went from free to enslaved to free, they came out doing these great things. The son John became a legislator, both a representative and a senator during the period of Reconstruction, and was deputy director of customs in St. Mark's. Bahamia, sold into slavery, Finlayson Plantation, Monticello, overseer, but then he went on to own over 100 acres of land and became an independent farmer. His son Garrett was the first black sheriff of Monticello. So that is the family that we chose this year. We did the publication of their life, the first publication that the Proctors told the story. Others had written about the Proctors, but this one we have the Proctors telling what the life was all about, their descendants.
So that is like a first person, or at least first family, accounting of what actually happened.
That is correct. So that's Thursday, February 28th at Goodwood Museum and Gardens from 6:30 to 10:30.
6:30 to 10:30. Delacree, mm-hmm. What's going on in your neck of the woods here?
Yes, sir. Well, on Thursday, March 21st, we're going to honor some local persons who were instrumental in preserving historic property. Something I've been trying to do, as you know, for some time. And we want to really bring recognition on that evening to the individuals in our community, some of whom are still around, some of whom are gone on, that were really vanguards in preserving and getting funding for preserving history in the community. That includes our own commissioner, Diane Williams-Cox, who helped us to preserve the Aquilina Howell House, the Sam and Aquilina Howell House on Barberville Drive. That includes Congressman Al Lawson, who was instrumental along with Congresswoman Carrie Meek, James Eaton, Dr. Humphreys, to get the money needed to expand the Black Archives at Florida A&M. He was also the person who got the legislative funds to move Gibbs Cottage to where it is now, to keep it from being demolished in 1988. Also, he's been instrumental in some other projects throughout his 28-year tenure in the legislature. And Dr. Charles Evans, who I already mentioned, who was instrumental in saving the modern cleaners. And several other individuals who will be honored on that evening. So we want to do this so that we will be able to help those persons in our community who still need or are still trying to find the resources to preserve the properties that they own. So that's going to be Thursday, March 21st, 6 o'clock p.m. at Goodwood Museum.
Also at Goodwood. So the John G. Riley House Museum, Alta Meese, would have more information about the Pioneers Gala that would be coming up. And for you,
Frederick Douglass Dinner.
Okay, Frederick Douglass Dinner. Okay. Terrific. Wilbur's been very patiently hanging on line one, waiting his chance to join the conversation with some good information here. Hey, Wilbur, thanks for calling. Welcome to Perspectives.
Yeah, good morning, Tom. I've worked a little bit as an archaeologist in Tallahassee, and in 1988, B. Calvin Jones, the late, great B. Calvin Jones, told me that when the city put in the explicitly racist city golf course, that they bulldozed over a black cemetery. And I heard there was some report done on it. I looked at the report, and it sounded to me like what Calvin described was a lot bigger than what they found in the report. And excuse the expression, I was wondering if it was a whitewash, and I was wondering if you all know anything about that.
Oh, my gosh. I see Delacree nodding his head here, Wilbur. What you know?
I want to know if Mrs. Barnes would have more information. I know that in 2001, at the time that Anita Davis was serving as president of the NAACP, she and Dr. Charles Billings were instrumental in that particular effort that he was talking about. But I don't know what came of it.
Alta Meese, do you know what occurred there? That was the old at the city golf course.
It sounds like it might have been on the old Houston plantation, but I hesitate to speak of things that I'm not clear about the authenticity of what I've heard. But I do know that there was a cemetery, and for some reason I'm kind of thinking it might have been on the old Houston plantation.
Yeah, Wilbur, any documentation that you're aware of, or any other, eyewitnesses?
No, this was given to me in a personal conversation because Calvin knew that I cared about things like that. Mm-hmm. And it was the city golf course was leased to a racist organization for $1 a year and explicitly prohibited blacks. And the rest of it is partly lost in my memory and was never that great detailed anyhow. And it was a personal conversation that Calvin invited me to because he knew that was an area of interest for me.
Sure. Well, Calvin Jones, certainly talk about impeccable credentials when it comes to archaeology and historical context and all. But that is a problem for so much of this stuff because, Altamise, we've had this discussion before. A lot of it is oral history. You do not have a paper trail on so much of this.
Yeah.
So how do you find out other than just, putting out a all-points bulletin, folks? If you have any history in your family that you think is significant, please, call Altamise or DeLaytree or Commissioner Williams Cox or somebody.
Yeah, it takes a lot of research, and a lot of times it's in the minds of people. So you just have to talk to the right people, and as we are doing now, put the word out there. Someone listening in, Bob Holliday, that would be a good project for the Tallahassee Historical Society to look into the Country Club piece. Mary May,
let me just say, I have her book in my car, and if you have not read Mary May's book, you need to read that book, because if you don't know what happened politically here in this town, then you're missing out on a lot. Yeah, as you mentioned earlier, Tom, that the city commission is historic this time. We have a predominantly African American city commission, and we have two African American females serving. And as I understand it from the mayor, so I have it on good account from the mayor, that has not happened in the 195 year history of the city of Tallahassee. But if you read the accounts of what happened, you find that we had many African Americans at the state level serving here prior to during Reconstruction. So we got to become students of the history if you're really serious about it. And I think that it is incumbent upon us to share this information, get this information, and share this information. We have social media now that we can just one message and we can get it out to the world. So we need to use those powers to collect and gather this information. I would love for Tallahassee to become a destination city for museums such as the Riley House and what is to become a tour of all the historical nature of our communities. So let's do what we can to kind of bring all this stuff together in an organized manner, as you've been doing, so that we'll have something that we can be really proud of, because I'm really proud of the work that these individuals are doing. So when I got the call, I immediately got busy trying to find these historians, because they know it all. They know it all, and they're learning more.
Now, Dr. C.U. Smith did a lot about the Capital City Country Club. Mm-hmm. So his daughter, Shauna, would probably be able to respond to the gentleman's call about that cemetery.
Yeah, if you're still listening, Wilbur, that would be a good thing, too.
And I have her contact information. If you reach it out to me, I'll get it.
Now, also, one last thing. The Riley House has a network that was established in 1997 under its umbrella, 32 museums from Pensacola to Miami. So we stay connected. So to Commissioner Diane Cox's statement, we really, as the capital city, need to embrace that network. We get funding through the legislature. It takes an every year toil. But we have enough museums out there who advocate for it. A rising tide lifts all boats. They understand that we do not fight each other. And so together, we've been able to get funding. But Tallahassee, as the capital city and county, should be the mecca for those museums. And the structure is already in place. The Florida Black Heritage Trail magazine is already in place. We organize the tours, the city, this city. It's ecotourism.
Mm-hmm.
But the anchor is right here, Tallahassee, the Central Administration Office here in Tallahassee.
One advocate I know that you have, and that is at the county level, and that is Carrie Post with Visit Tallahassee, because she headed up, again, full disclosure, used to work for Visit Florida alongside of Carrie, and she was into heritage tourism very, very deeply, and I think she acknowledges that this is another attraction that we can leverage to bring more people and more attention to our area. Let's get Bruce on the line here as time grows short here on this special edition of Perspectives. Hi, Bruce. Thanks for calling and welcome.
Hey, Tom. How you doing? Is Ultimies there, too?
You betcha. Right here.
Hey, Ultimies. Hi. I don't know if you remember me or not.
Oh, from Trust for Public Land?
Yes, ma'am. I used
Bruce,
to work over there.
Yes,
we worked
sir.
On Victory Hill together.
I do. You took me to the cemetery, remember?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to comment real quick, and somebody had mentioned about, you know, any of these cemeteries being covered up and development, et cetera. And I would have to say that possibility is very, very much true, I think. I don't have direct proof either, but in finding and setting aside the Hickory Hill Cemetery, it was so hidden and so removed that it could have so easily been developed under, and whether people knew it or not, they're very poorly marked. You know, it was really hard to even find this one. It was actually by accident. And also remember, too, back in the day, the DeSoto site that's in Tallahassee was nearly developed. It was only because of a good developer stopping the excavation that we have that area set aside as well to this day. So how many things have been buried under by development is real possibility.
Mm-hmm. That's the one on Monday Street that he's talking about,
mm-hmm.
DeSoto.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's another one on Benton that was almost lost.
Exactly, and also not on Benton, but also Indian Hill.
Yes.
And again, you never know where the history is, Bruce, as you have pointed out so many times, along with Ultimis and Delatry, that there is so much we do not know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely.
And speaking of Benton, the community played a big part, too, the Benton community. And just this year after the hurricane, someone wrote in the paper, we want to go in and clean up this cemetery because trees fell in the Benton cemetery. How do we do that? Well, because Riley did the research, I contacted Wayne Tedder, and he said, oh, yeah, right, that's one of our cemeteries. So the community is paying attention to it, and a lot of times that goes a long way if you have the support of community.
Sure, and Bruce, as far as the Trust for Public Land is concerned, is still hooked into this whole preservation and identification effort?
Well, I mean, I don't work there anymore. That was years and years ago. I have since moved on to many other types of careers and work, but I fondly remember Hickory Hill. I remember everything I did. I'm still very active, but in a different type of role today. But the irony is literally I'm sitting right now probably only about 50 yards away from Hickory Hill Cemetery. That's how much I come out here.
That's amazing. Bruce, it's so good to hear from you. Thanks for checking back in and giving us that, that update.
I look forward to hitting you all up soon again.
Well, in just a few moments that we have left, let's have a quick around the table on if folks do have any information about little-known historical sites related to Black history or they want to help either as a volunteer, as a contributor, fiscally or otherwise. Let's start with you, Delatry Hollinger. What should they do?
I can be reached at floridalandmarks@gmail.com. We just need more people to raise their voices and get involved and help us find and track down the resources. There's a lot more that we must do. The work is not finished.
Terrific.
And if you're not able to come out with a shovel or what have you, then donate so that someone can be paid to come help.
Yeah.
You can bring a spade. You can bring a checkbook.
That's right.
Yeah, that works. Ultimis, through the Riley House?
Well, usually I'm riding around at a meeting or something with my cell phone conducting meetings, but you can call 850-681-7881 talk with our volunteers and the staff. We are able to have our interns, and they will get the word to me, and I will get right back. We need a sustainable model for Raleigh because the house was built in 1890, and we have the second building there. But it takes a lot of work and a lot of finance to keep that going. And if it's to pass on to the next generation to continue, we need well-trained, well-skilled, because we're into digitization. We've got to get the collections preserved.
There we go.
So,
and Tallahassee City Commissioner Diane Williams-Cox, thank you so much for being part
thank
of
you.
This today.
Thank you. And thank you, Mrs. Barnes and Mr. Hollinger.
Thank you.
Perspectives is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Evan Rossi and Lydell Rawls behind the glass today. I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, the one-year anniversary of the tragedy at Parkland's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, with the Florida legislature already looking at possible changes to the laws connected with school safety. It's a hot topic. We'll be bringing it all to next week right here on Perspectives. Join us then.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.